Michael Paul.
Hi.
So I'm happy for the opportunity to ask more questions about honest sharing. So the next question is along the lines of resistance when honest sharing is done in couples. So usually when people come to regularly meeting closed local groups, they plan their schedule around it. They allow the correct amount of time to drive and to arrive on time, and then they do honest sharing. But what I sometimes hear about for couples is they'll say they'll do honest sharing, let's say Tuesday at 8 o'clock in the evening. But then one of them is tired, or one of them has a bad day, or they were invited to dinner with friends, or, so they have these reasons and then they push it off either to a different time or to a different day that's more convenient. Can we talk a little bit about this? And is it discouraged? Is it better to stay on schedule or it's okay to be this flexible? Can you talk about, why that might be or things like that?
Yes, well, there's a part in us which doesn't want that at all. So this part tries everything to not do the honest sharing, to convince the person not to do it, because honest sharing is the end of the well, it's the end of the life in separation and in illusion, and all the suppressed emotions come up, so the protecting mechanism tries to keep the person away from it. And that's why it's so easy to skip it or to not do it. And if we are honest, we can really feel the relief sometimes if we don't do it. Yeah. For example, if the group is not happening or there's an important dinner or something, and we have to skip it, and it's like a release. Oh my God, great! I don't have to face myself or my partner. I can directly go into distracting and yeah. So it's at the beginning a painful process. It is. And yeah, this part doesn't want it. But there's another part who understands, or that understands, if we do that, a deep transformation will happen. And if we do that, at the end, we will be more happy. The result is that the suffering goes away more and more, and more life energy can flow through us. So the other part understands we should do that. So now, who's winning? That's the point. Because this internal struggle, I said I would recommend a certain time, for example, every Monday at 6 or something like that. And both really have to say we do that at 6 every Monday. There must be a real commitment, a commitment that is so strong that the suppressed parts cannot destroy that. And if for some reason it really doesn't, is not possible, then you should do it in a, for example, you should prepare another time when you do it, so that at least once a week the couple is doing the honest sharing. And this part who doesn't want that, it's about the crossing of limits or borders. It is easier if both say what's there. For example, I feel angry or I feel anger, and my mind says, or my head thinks, that I don't want to do the honest sharing. So the protecting mechanism should be communicated also if it's there. And the more I do that, the less this part has power over us. Yeah, so maybe at the beginning the couple is sharing just that they actually don't want that. And this is already the honest sharing. We don't have to change anything. That can make it easier. But the bottom line is, if we don't do it, nothing happens, really. So we have to do it. And later on, it goes more and more, it becomes more and more like it becomes more and more part of the day-to-day life. So you realize then that you, in all kinds of situations, you just share your emotions instead of fighting or going away or whatever, manipulation. That's the result if you do that regularly. And then you less and less need these states, and you just do it because you've realized there's nothing to lose anymore. You just share what's there, your emotions, basically. And then the relationship starts before it's just putting two bodies together and dreaming, and there's actually no really real connection. It's just a dreaming. And what I also say all the time is the relationship starts actually only at that point when both think they have to divorce and separate. If the suffering and the conflicts and so on, the what's the word, the loneliness is so big that the couple thinks the relationship has failed and they have to separate, this is the point where the relationship starts. Before, it was no relationship, it was dreaming. And because they live together, the dreams get, how would you say, destroyed so much that suddenly there's so much contact that the relationship starts. But then they are in the middle of their childhood trauma, in the middle of their developmental trauma, and then they think they have to separate because there's so much suffering coming up. But it has nothing to do with the partner, nothing at all. It's just the childhood. So at that point, unfortunately, most people go away. So when it could start, when the actual love could start, they go away, and then they have to start again until they come at that point where the relationship fails, yeah, doesn't fail. And then again, separation, and nothing changes. And if at that point people don't go away, then something opens that we could call love, that is bigger than the state of love or the emotion of anger. In that openness, everything has space, love and anger. So this is the actual love what we are searching. But no one, not in the school or in the universities, no one's telling us that. Yeah, no one tells us that the relation starts at that point when it completely fails. When the relationship has failed, it actually begins. No one has told me that before. So it's like a death. So if we go through that death, life starts. Relationship and relating and life is the same, because then energy flows. Yeah, so that's the point where the interaction with the world, the real energy flow starts. And for that, to make that as easy and simple and smooth as possible, we have the honest sharing.
Yeah, there's a lot in there, from what you just said. So what you were talking about, how people, they start living together and they're forced into this communication, and then there's the death of what they expected the relationship to be like. I think I was reading some studies where they were saying that these days, a lot of relationships, in people who are in relationships these days, they don't live together in the way that they used to in the past. So in the past, people would have a relationship, they move in together and they live their life together. And now people have relationships, they have two different apartments, and that allows them to keep that distance. Whenever something upsets them, they just go to their own safe places.
Well, the idea is not bad. Yeah, that's not bad, because it creates security, and they can control the how much closeness and how much interaction they want. And this is not a bad idea. And as soon as the relationship comes closer and closer, they may move together. Yeah, I mean, if you move together, then it goes very fast. You have very fast access to all the shadows and your childhood trauma. I mean, what we are talking about are actually only emotions. Just emotion. So we need distance to the partner because we need distance to our emotions. Actually, it's not about the partner. We do that just to get away from the emotions, because they are too much to handle for us. But I think this I think this is a good idea to be able to control that. Otherwise, you have no control in one apartment. Then it's really hard.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So, and it's usually one partner, one of the two, that not pushes, but really would like to do honest sharing more than the other. Yeah. And that person seems to be okay with doing the work and facing their shadows, and the other person not so much.
Yes, that's the reason, because the other doesn't want it. The first one can appear or can pretend that he wants more interaction and closeness. That's the reason, because this is happening. Yeah, if we do that, one part can say, well, I'm approaching, I'm able to, I mean, I want more emotions, and I really want contact. And no, because, and I mean, I see that in the process, if that person suddenly says, oh yes, okay, I also want, boom, then we see that, oh wait a minute, well, maybe tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's always like that. And yeah, it's just it's in a relationship, it's not the point who runs away and who runs after. That's not the point. The point is how much distance is needed, and are both willing to go closer or not. Yeah, so that's the point.
Yeah, that all resonates with me very strongly.
Yes, and the willingness to do honest sharing is most of the time, or no, not most of the time, but can be also an attempt to suppress emotions in the relationship. Because instead of sharing, I feel lonely, or I feel angry, I can say, we have to do more honest sharing. Because then I get the connection with you I want, and then I don't feel these feelings. So the system can use anything to bypass the connection, even honest sharing.
Wow, yeah.
And the difference is, it's an action. As soon as we are doing something, for example, wanting honest sharing, we are doing something. We are not sharing something. Yeah. So it's all very tricky.
So yeah.
The point is, things start when we share something from us. Then it starts. Yeah. And of course, we need an agreement to do the honest sharing. But then, if that agreement is there, we really should stay with sharing things. For example, if the other is not so close as we want, then we share that. Well, I feel angry, I feel lonely. And not trying to force someone in a fixed relationship or in a fixed structure.
And if one of the partners explicitly says, I don't like sharing my emotions.
If he's doing that in the honest sharing way, that's no problem. Yeah. For example, I feel shame. My head thinks that I don't want to share my emotions. If he can clearly share and communicate this border, then it creates the connection. But if he says, I don't want to have anything to do with this psycho nonsense. Yeah. Okay, then it's no connection. Then we should look for someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true when you I hadn't recognized that when people were talking to me. You mentioned this towards the beginning that like people who have complained about their spouse trying to postpone, they said, yeah, sometimes they feel relieved. Yeah. It's interesting that push and pull, and
yeah, first relieved, and then we feel separation. Yes.
Yeah.
Always the intermediate state is feeling is how do you say that, it gives us the illusion of a release or of a solution. Yeah, this moving away. Yeah, oh, okay, distance, but then loneliness. And the other way around, if we think about the date when we meet, the same, oh Yeah, it we come closer, but when we are there, then it's oh God, yeah. So these intermediate states, there we can feel a little bit relief, and this is how people deal with life, that they move between the poles, otherwise they would get crazy. So this back and forth keeps people stable. And of course, this is in a way normal, yeah. But both is not a contact and a relationship. Of course, the going away is not a relationship and no contact. And also the impulse to merge, yeah, is not a relationship. It's the state of a young child or baby that needs a merging, a real becoming one. Yeah, but on the grown-up level, it's not a relationship because there are not two. We have one. So this is no relationship, and this is also no relationship. So we need two grown-ups sharing what's there, and they stay here, and their autonomy and also their ability to share. Now, that's what we actually want and need. And then the fulfillment comes.
Yeah, what you're saying is opening up to a bigger conversation that I'm not sure if we want to have right now, or maybe I'll come back to the point of the merging type and the kind of the child consciousness. Maybe we'll pick that up at another time.
Yeah.
Because that's a big topic that I'd also love to cover.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think this is awesome. Thank you so much. This has been really helpful. I appreciate it.
Thank you for asking.